League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends. Welcome to 2025. Off the back of 2024, one of the most successful and famous years in the history of this famous old football club. And welcome to an unbeaten start to 2025, because Ipswich Town kicked off this new year with a quite frankly bonkers 2-2 draw at Craven Cottage against Fulham yesterday. And they've also already made a signing. So I don't really know what we're going to fill the show with today. There's not a lot to talk about. I am Mark Heath. I'm with my two young friends to discuss all of that good stuff as we kick off 2025. Rossi, you just told us you're sitting in a sleeping bag. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, Heathy, because this is the first time I actually spoke to you this year. Obviously, over text I have, but in terms of in this virtual room, Happy New Year, my friend, and everyone else listening. And I'm currently in a Thai massage parlour, as people have commented on before, as if you're watching on video. But no, very nice and snug in his sleeping bag, ready to talk about football and Ipswich Town. Let's go.
Excellent. Rossi, can I just say, by way of praise, the two pods that you presented while I was... When Ross says we're having a lie down, by the way, friends, that's we're just having a day off. I mean, I'd love to have a lie down on a day off, but I'm afraid my other half would not allow that. If it looks like I'm going to relax at any point on my day off, she appears and gives me a job to do. So when we're lying down, that's just a day off.
But Stu's lying down today.
I don't think he is, mate. Again, he's married. He's got a daughter. I don't think he gets much opportunity to lie down. Chance would be a fine thing. But Ross, excellently hosted two podcasts last week. I really enjoyed them. If you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to them. AJ, you played a key part in one of those two podcasts. You start this new year with a particularly spiffing-looking musketeer beard. You remain the youngest of our crucial quartet. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, really good. Happy New Year to you. As I said, the first time we've spoken to you in a long time, it feels. Mm. Everything's good. Ipswich are in a good place, which is lovely. I'm getting over the horrible cold, which I think everyone heard me on the boot room almost dying for 10 minutes.
It wasn't very there he horrible. Is.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah, there's the dramatics that you've missed there. It was nice this morning where I got up and here you go, a little bit of life background here. Our dog Maisie went in for surgery on Friday.
Oh no!
I know. So that was very stressful on top of quite a stressful press conference on the Friday. Having that in the back of your head, it's all planned out. But it was she's had these issues with her legs, with her ACL that needed surgery. Quite difficult for snub-nosed dogs. So she went and had that. She couldn't come out for a little while because she wasn't feeling great. She came back yesterday, and this morning, despite everything, she just got up and walked. So that was really nice to see. Very happy with that one. Long road to recovery, as you'll know, for someone that's had Maisie all of these kind of issues.
Maisie joins me in the ACL club. Welcome, Maisie. That's not a club I'm particularly happy to be part of. You didn't mention that at all, mate. You bravely soldiered on Friday. You covered two presses on your own, and you had all that going on in the background. Well played, you. So
thank you.
I'm delighted to hear that she is on the road to recovery. Friends, 2025 has started. Town remain unbeaten. Two games unbeaten now. Off the back of that brilliant win over Chelsea, they went to Fulham yesterday. And a ding-dong seesaw battle of a game they drew to all. And I'm going to start, boys, before we start breaking it down bit by bit. And there's obviously a lot to talk about. With just your feelings after the game. Because I put on X or Twitter, whatever we call it now, and Blue Sky post-match, that I thought it was a good result, a draw at Fulham. I'd have taken that before the game and even after the game, despite the fact they conceded late on, I still felt like it was a good result. A lot of people come back at me and said, that's not a good result. They should have seen it out. So, Ross, how are you feeling now? And how did you feel at full time yesterday? Has it changed? You still feel the same?
A little bit. Once again, going into these last two games, get 4 points out of it. I don't think anybody predicted 4 points. Mm. I don't think anyone predicted a point, I don't think. I think Fulham maybe just edging to maybe getting a point, but to beat Chelsea and draw against Fulham, who are obviously Fulham, 8 games unbeaten after this game, doing really well. Yeah, maybe at full time you just would feel like, what could have been? What if, buts, maybe, or was, you know, chuck those words out. And, you know, some people go, you know, it feels like a loss actually, because, you know, conceding that late goal and, you know, close to getting the win with Jack Clark's shot hit the post. But once again, we're coming up against these sort of teams who are got star quality and must to compete. So, yeah, I've come away from the game thinking, yeah, point one. And, yeah, talk about it, but move on.
Mm. How about you, AJ? Because I think of all the Christmas games or the festive period games, this is the one game that any of us thought they might get something from. I think Ross predicted a draw against Chelsea, actually. Very optimistic. I think that would have been...
Well done, Ross. That's nice. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
But, I mean, obviously, the manner of them getting the draw in terms of being 2-1 up, you could see as a little bit deflating, I guess. But I genuinely felt pretty happy with things.
Yeah, so did I. And talk about the manner of the draw. This was a game where Ipswich had 27% possession.
Mm.
They, from an attacking sense, didn't create loads. But I think the performance overall is, again, you can't go through an entire season saying the performance is good and the results will come. You know, we're halfway through the season now. And the result is good. And, you know, it is. This is a strong Fulham side, a Fulham side that beaten, and especially drawn against a lot of good teams. They're drawn against Liverpool, drawn against Arsenal, drawn against, or beaten Chelsea, won at Chelsea, drawn at Tottenham, games like that. They're a good team. And it was always going to be quite a tricky game in terms of, I said afterwards, it felt a little bit like the Arsenal game at times, especially early on, where a bit penned back and it's just defending, crossing into the box. And that was kind of the flow of the game overall. But the game plan was really, really good. On another day, they win it. And I just don't look through the team and think, you know, that there's bad performances in there. And that's ultimately got to be the thing that stands out the most. I think everyone played really well. There's a couple of individual moments, as we'll get on to, of course, but especially defensively. And this is maybe the big thing, given how difficult that's been. I think the Newcastle game was kind of the... spoken about at the time. I think Connor Chapman said maybe it's the kind of the reality check that we need. And Kieran McKenna's gone in and started playing three centre-backs and they look so solid.
Yeah,
and I know they conceded 2 goals in this game, but from open play, they were rock solid. And that was really good to see.
Excellent. Let's hear from Ben Johnson, first of all. We'd normally play some Kieran McKenna, obviously, at this point, our Lord and Saviour, and hear what he has to say. But I'm afraid the audio is too quiet on it, and it would not be a good audio experience. So we can't do that today. Instead, we'll bring you Mr. Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think it was good. Like, we were strong defensively. We had to sustain pressure. Like, Fulham are a really good team, an athletic team that can run, that can really be dangerous. And I felt like we stifled that well. We scored 2 away from home. So to do that is definitely a positive.
But to be so close to back-to-back wins must hurt.
I'm not sure what people are expecting, like, to win every game. Where Ipswich Town, we've just come up. We're here to stay, of course, and we're here to compete, but it's the Premier League. You're playing against teams of the highest quality. It's not going to be easy to get a win. So I feel like we've shown resolve from earlier in the season, and we're going to continue to build on that.
You clearly feel there's improvement from earlier on in the season?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. You could argue that maybe if that game was earlier in the season, we might go on to lose 3-2. And I feel like a lot of the results now in the last maybe 4 or 5 games... we've shown that we can sustain pressure now and our game management has improved.
Right, we're going to put a little pin in one of those comments there, because I found it quite interesting that the bit about people expect us to win every game when, you know, Ipswich Town in the Premier League. We'll come back to that, friends, and we have a little look at the bigger picture later on. But in terms of the game itself, AJ, and breaking that down, I guess we should start at the start with the team. Now, it was a team that I think was largely expected, apart from one significant absence, which is going to be significant going forward, clearly in January, which is young Amari, who we understand has got a groin injury. So not a good way to start the day.
No, not at all. I think there are a few whispers about the Swan. So at the time it got put out on the team news, it wasn't like a huge surprise, but there was a lot of talk. Is he ill? Is it an injury? you know, people start speculating. Kieran McKenna comes out on Sky quite early and says it's a groin injury, which, again, I'm sure that they'll assess it and we'll see what we're kind of looking at with that. But we now know it's going to be weeks rather than just a few days. Helps that there's not that many Premier League games in this kind of short term, at least. But we don't really know what weeks means. And he's obviously been a really important player, both in terms of the attacking output, of course, starting to get more goals and assists, but also in terms of his game management, his defensive work, running down the clock, things like that. I think he's really, really important for that. And he's developed a lot in that sense. And also the fact that there's not that many players that can play in that kind of right 10 role now. Sammy Smodics came in on the right side for this one. It's not really a natural position for him, although I thought he did really well. It's an area that Ipswich, I think, really wants to strengthen. Let's be honest, with Chiwok Bene out for the season. We've already seen a couple of links. We'll get onto one of those later in the pod. But yeah, to have him out means that in the short term, it is maybe a little bit of an issue. And just in terms of missing the player that he is, that's a much bigger problem for Ipswich that they're going to have to try and figure out, because he's just been so important for them.
We're going to come back to sexy stuff, friends. Obviously, Town have signed Ben Godfrey already, and there's links flying around. And obviously, with the injuries now, that makes it more important they get some they get some support on that side of things. And we'll talk about that in due course. But just let's stick in with the game, Rossi. Alex has already alluded to it. I thought the first half, certainly the first half an hour or so, maybe a bit longer, felt a lot like the Arsenal game in that it started fairly even, and then Town just sort of got pushed back and back, and it felt like they were just kind of being penned in, and Fulham had all of the ball. And then obviously there was the incident with the Leif Davis. Did he deserve to be sent off? So what were your thoughts on the start of the game and also that particular incident? Because, excuse me, watching it live, my first thought was, shit, he's off. He's got to go. And then obviously you watch the replay and you see Dara O'Shea was potentially covering there. So what did you make of the start of that incident?
Yeah, my position was actually, I was only one position for the game, and I was actually, the first half I was seeing the Fulham attack, so all the action was near me. So I was like, actually, you know what, it's not too bad. But also I was thinking, no, it's against Ipswich Town, so it's not too good. But yeah, Town, fair play to the defenders, because this setup, even though, yeah, we sort of let them have the ball, the opposition, but Town defended so well. I think the clearances is like 40 plus. I think in terms combined with all the players, like Dara O'Shea, Jacob Greaves, Luke Wolford, and even the, you know, the fullbacks as well. And yeah, even though that's not the prettiest of watches when you just every attack ball's going to the box, but thankfully, you know, the boys get out of there. But yeah, that first 30 minutes wasn't a pretty watch, and yeah, Fulham just had all the ball. And then the Leif Davis incident, obviously I don't have the luxury of replays. Yeah. So I'm just like, that looks bad. Oh, no, okay, he's not been sent off. Happy days. But yeah, watching it back, you know, again, after the game, yeah, you've got the covering defender there. So referee, well done. Good decision there, my friend.
Yeah.
He
was a busy man, wasn't he, Anthony Taylor, yesterday? This was the first big incident he had to deal with. Ross there making a call for photographers to get their own little video monitors as well. Should happen. AJ, what was your take on the Leif Davis thing? Because as I say, watching it live, I was like, oh no, that does not look good. Were you confident that it was only ever going to be yellow?
Darren Bond, the referee, wasn't it? Not Anthony.
Sorry,
was that Taylor?
No, I don't know. I've got it right.
Oh, who cares?
Joke.
I don't think anyone's really going to care about us mislabeling referees on this, unless we have any referees like actually listening to the show.
Was Anthony Taylor the VAR? Hold on, I'm going to check. You talk.
It was Anthony Taylor currently listening to the pod? Yeah, in terms of this one, at the time, to be perfectly honest, we were in quite a good eye line with this, that the Fulham press box is quite low, very wooden, big pillar in the way, but for some instances, you're in a really good position, and this was one of them. And I could see quite early on, I was quite surprised that there was quite a lot of talk and chants about him being sent off, because I thought, from what I can see, there's probably at least two or three actually kind of in that level there, and one of them was O'Shea, who was covering. So I wasn't that kind of confused about it. I thought it was probably the right call. It's a risk, let's be honest, it's quite a risky move, but I thought it was the right decision all in all. I know Marco Silva disagreed. He spoke a little bit afterwards, and he did the thing where I was sat in the press lounge for this bit, and I was just kind of in the background doing my player ratings, listening to him talking. And there's quite a classic move that sometimes some of the more prickly managers, I think we'll say, will pull out, which is where a member of the press will say, what did you think of the decision? And the manager will go, what do you think of the decision? And it kind of, you have that really awkward back and forth. Anyway, yeah. In the end, they got it out of him. He kind of, you know, someone said, well, I'll ask you the question, or I'll answer your question. I thought all three of them were penalties. He said, yes, I agree. And he said he then thought that Davis should have been sent off. Not really too sure about that one, to be perfectly honest. I don't know how many replays he's seen of that one to think that Davis should be sent off, but it's not a last man.
Hmm. I've just checked. Anthony Taylor nowhere near the game yesterday, so I've got absolutely no idea where I've got that from. Must be in the old noggin. A lot going on in there, boys. Anyway, so Towns survive that scare, and then they get the goal, Rossi, and a fantastic thing to see. Nathan Broadhead, we'll come to him later as well. Key part of that. Ben Johnson, we've just heard, played a key part, although I don't think it was actually his header, was it, that hit the bar? I think it might have been Anthony Robinson. And then Smodic finishes, Rossi. Scenes, Towner ahead.
Yeah, unbelievable scenes. And obviously I was sort of behind, or the Town fans were behind me, so that was unbelievable scenes seeing that away. And so I was over end of the pitch. Once again, need a replay, really. So anybody watching in the Premier League, can you put replay screens next to me so I can watch the goal back? But yeah, obviously I knew you scored it, but in terms of, I didn't really know how it came back. So it hit the crossbar, and then, yeah, Sammy, good finish from the lad. And really good performance from Sammy, by the way. I loved his last-ditch tackle.
Half-time.
That was incredible. But he's just worked
right. He blocked a shot, didn't he? It was like a really big block. He just hurled
himself. Yeah.
That's got to leave a bruise, that. I think it was it Harry Wilson who's really got a whack behind him. Like, he's known for his powerful shots. And Smolik's got right in the way of that. I thought, oh, that has got to sting. That really must hurt.
But that speaks so much, doesn't it, to the Town ethos, that kind of work ethic, the willingness to throw yourself in the way of a ball like that. I really love stuff like that. And then obviously he gets the goal at the other end. So going into half time, AJ, Town 1-0 up, feeling pretty good about things, yeah?
Yeah, and probably, let's be honest, against the run of play. But I think both teams had one shot on target, and this is what the Premier League is. It's about being clinical. The one chance that that Fulham had in that half was a header that Raul Jimenez hit quite low. Walton got down to save. And then Ipswich just gets tucked in the back of the net. It's a really nice goal. The cross from Broadhead's brilliant. Good work from Johnson, at least to challenge for the header. I know he doesn't get there, but he has to force Robinson to get a lot of power on it to hit it into the bar. It's almost an own goal. And then some pretty shambolic defending from Bassey. But you've got to be there to take your chances. Smodic has probably been a little bit to blame for some of those in the past. I remember the couple that he's been in that kind of situation and smacked the side netting. Southampton's one that stands out to me. I think maybe at Brentford he had a similar one. This time he took that chance, and that's what you need to do. That's often the difference in these kind of games. And we talk about Ipswich needing to make the most of their time when they're on top, because there often isn't a lot of it. Let's be honest, that's just how it is in the Premier League. That's exactly what they did. They literally had about 2 minutes across that 45, and in that 2 minutes they made it count. And that's a big step up and a big improvement from what we've seen.
100%. And then obviously, Rossi, we move into the second half. I thought this was a proper game of two halves, in terms of the first half was a cagey, as I said, part of it felt like, a lot like the Arsenal game, where Fulham were completely dominant and then Town get a goal against the run of play. The second half, however, was just a cracking, absorbing, compelling game of football. One of the more entertaining things I've watched recently. And obviously we have to start there with Sam Morsy conceding the penalty. And Fulham levelling. What was your take on this? By the sound of what you were saying, you were quite a long way away from it. You don't have your little video screen.
No.
But I'm afraid to tell you, friend, it was definitely a penalty.
Yeah, to be fair, because good old Wazza from the Cowboy Army, of course, does great stuff for game day. And he was right basically behind me. And I turned around and he just was like, and we're like, it looks like a penalty. Even from the distance we were, we just thought just how the connection was with Morsy. And yeah. Not a great time for us to concede a penalty there, because I thought we were somewhat like, could try to get a second here. I want to quickly mention, sorry to go back to the Sammy Smodic, but he does love playing away, doesn't he? He scored four of his goals. He scored away from home, which is great. And two of them obviously been in the pink kit, which I'm liking a bit more now. When it first came out, I know you love Pink Heavy, but originally I was like, eh, it's fine, but it's growing on me. Like all the kits this season. Obviously, I love the away kit because, you know, that's my colour. But the home kit was growing on me, and now the third kit's growing on me. But anyway.
Tangent with Smodics, there's an interesting one because not only have all four of them been away, but I think all four of them have been the first goals in the game as well. So they've all been 1-0s. He scored to make it 1-0 at Brentford. He scored to make it 1-0 at City. He scored to make it 1-0 at Tottenham. And he scored to make it 1-0 here. So running theme here, we'll have to factor this in for our predictions down the line. Anfield in a few weeks' time, we're all going to say Smodics. Nice. Smodics first scorer.
Love
it. It'll be someone totally different.
There's also an extraordinary stat, isn't there, which I've just found while we're having this chat around Smodics. Since the beginning of last season, only Erling Haaland, Mo Salah, Cole Palmer and Alexander Isak have scored more goals across England's top tiers than Sammy Smodics. Obviously, he had a tremendous season last season for Blackburn. Great stuff. Not great stuff, though, AJ, the penalty with Sam Morsy. I know it wasn't given originally, but as soon as you saw the replay, it was obviously a penalty and a kind of a strange challenge. I appreciate there's always a disconnect because these guys are moving so fast that when you watch a replay and back in slightly slower motion, you think, what's he doing? Obviously, at full speed, it's a lot quicker and a lot more difficult situation. But it was a kind of careless challenge, which we should say.
Yeah, there's a disconnect in a sense, but only to a certain extent. I mean, even watching this at full speed, because I saw it at the time and I was absolutely astonished that the referee did not give this as a penalty straight away, right in front of him, clear contact, absolutely nowhere near the ball. And as soon as he then pointed to the goal kick, I just thought, no way that has to get overturned. He's nowhere near the ball, it's clear contact. And then you watch on the replays, then it's slower, then it's worse. And bizarre this, and not really what you come to expect from Morsy, because as I said, he's nowhere near the ball. And then you see the leg going out and he doesn't try and bring it back in. He doesn't try and pull out the challenge. If he does that, then at least there's a bit of kind of protection for him. But he doesn't do that, which was a surprise. So I think that might have been the one where he got booked for. He definitely got booking in the game. I think it was which also doesn't help. He's now only 4 off a 2-match ban, which doesn't feel that far away. Look, this was a game where, I think, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't one of his better ones. He looked a little bit off the pace in general, which is okay. That happens. But definitely this incident, I just can't quite get my head around what he was thinking, because he's usually so precise. He's usually so calm and collected. And this one was really blatant and really quite far off it, and came at a time, as Ross said, for Town, where they were not comfortable, but it just felt like they were really frustrating Fulham. They were really enjoying themselves, and it was just such an easy way to let them back into it.
Just on the Morsy thing, this is a kind of wider question that someone posed to me after the game, after I'd suggested it was a good result. And they sort of said, is Sam Morsy, I'm going to find out who it was, just to name check him. So I'll speak and scroll. He said, is Sam Morsy unsubstitutable? Because whenever they replace a midfielder like they did in this game, obviously it was Kiusta that came off, even though he was, you would say, having a better game than Sam Morsy. What's your take on that, AJ? That obviously, clearly, Morsey's the skipper. He's a very key player. But do you think he's unsubstitutable?
No, I don't think so. I mean, part of it you have to bear in mind is that his stamina is really, really good. And Jens Kajusta cannot, I don't think, realistically play 90 minutes. I don't think he's at that stage with where he's at. And in terms of the depth that Ipswich have in midfield, they can bring on, well, they wanted to bring on Taylor in a slightly more advanced role, and they wanted Phillips there, so there wasn't really the option to go and bring off Morsy. I don't think that he is unsubstitutable. I don't necessarily think that he is undroppable, and it's hard because I thought he was really, really good against Chelsea, and it's just one of those off days, and you can put it down to certain things. I know people say, oh, you know, his legs aren't maybe at Premier League level, things like that. And there are a handful of games where I can look at in the Premier League and say, yeah, you know what, that might be right. And there's also a handful of games in the Premier League where I say he's comfortably, miles, easily at this level. So it just swings week on week, a bit like when Town lose and everyone says, oh, well, they're doomed now. And then they win and say, well, we're not that far off the Europa League. So it's kind of, it's a bit like that. I think that this was a poor performance. It was probably his worst performance in the Premier League for Ipswich. And I just don't think we should be necessarily overreacting to that, apart from just stating the facts, because he could come back, we'll say the Brighton game, in just over a week's time and play out of his skin again. And that'll be great. And everyone will be saying, oh, he's a brilliant player and we should never be seeing him out of the team. But I don't think he's unsubstitutable. I don't think he's undroppable. I think there will be games this season where potentially even by choice, we might see Kajusta and Phillips at times. It's just about keeping things fresh and giving players opportunities when they deserve it.
Yeah, that was George from Fram, just to give you a shout out, George, who asked that question, which I thought was probably worth raising here. So, Rossi, peek behind the curtain time. My wife was flitting around. Obviously, a Leicester fan, was taking an interest in this game. Thought it was hilarious. Came in to watch the penalty when it became 1-1 and then vanished upstairs to do something else. And then, moments later, she heard me exclaim, "Yes, get in!" as Town went 2-1 up, obviously, because they went straight back down the other end and got a penalty of their own. And this sounds like it was near to you. So what was your take on this? Because of the three, let's be honest, friends, this was definitely the softest. I mean, pretty ruddy, bloody soft. What did you make of it?
Not as soft, obviously, as the Chelsea one.
Yeah.
That one's but this one, there is contact there because there's two defenders sort of blocking him, but you know, Delap, he's going to go down and he's a striker. You're going to go down. Although he's a big boy, you think you'll just go, boom, get out of the way, defender. But yeah, from my angle, I just thought, yeah, you know what? If they've got a penalty, we deserve one too. So I got it. I wasn't expecting that to be that quick, though. I was sort of like, oh, God, here we go. Fulham, we've got to go and score another. We're going to lose this one. But thankfully not. Town got themselves up, picked themselves up and went down on the other pitch. And Liam Delap wins another penalty and converts it.
Yeah.
Never in doubt.
We'll come on to the manner of the penalty in a minute, AJ. What was your take on the award? Was it checked? Was it reviewed? Because, like, watching the replays, I was struggling to see, if I'm honest.
They all get checked in some way, shape or form, even if it's literally just a quick glance at it without it, like, popping up on the screen and they go the whole VAR check in progress kind of thing. I think it's quite similar to the Chelsea one in a way, where at the end of the day, this is up to the referee. The referee knows he's got the coverage of VAR. He'll see contact in the box and he'll say penalty. Now, both are soft. I think both are penalties, by the way. I stand by. I still think that the one against Chelsea was a penalty as well. And this one, again, it's soft. He goes down like a sack of spuds. There's not a lot of contact there, but the referee deems it enough to be a penalty. And VAR, all they're going to look at is their contact. And if there's contact, it's a penalty. They're not going to overturn it. There's nothing clear and obvious to do that. Now, there's inconsistencies with this. Let's be honest. Do we remember, what's the one that stands out to me? Jack Clark against Everton at Portman Road. Yeah, not sure about that overturn. But the rules, realistically, should be like what we've seen with the Delap one and with both Delap ones, Delap against Chelsea and Delap against Fulham. And ultimately, it probably does come to the right decision. Is it harsh? Would I be annoyed if that had gone against us? Yeah, massively. But ultimately, you can see why the referee's gone down that route. The one thing that surprised me is he initially awarded a goal kick after the Morsi challenge. And with this one here, he just immediately blew the whistle straight to the penalty. I don't know how he saw it. Yeah, a little bit strange. But ultimately, by the letter of the law, right call.
Yeah, and we talked before, haven't we, about things maybe evening themselves out over the course of the season, hoping it would. Maybe that's one in the credit bracket there for Town. So if the penalty itself, the award of the penalty, Rossi, was softer than a Mr. Whippy ice cream, the finish certainly was not. And you were close to this. We know Liam Delap, Luke Wolfen has already said he's never seen anyone hit a ball as hard as Liam Delap. And I loved it. I loved this in terms of Leno tried to do a bit of gamesmanship, didn't he? And he was standing in front of him, sort of suggesting the ball wasn't properly on the spot. And Delap was just sort of grinning at him, like, I don't care, mate, just get back in your goal. I'm going to absolutely hammer this in a minute. And he duly did. What a penalty this was, mate.
Yeah, never in doubt. I just saw Lindelap step up and thought, this is going in. I'm ready to see the scenes in the away. And I'm just looking back and went, yeah, no worries, ladies and gentlemen. And Roy Delap, his dad, was in the away end as well. So
I really
enjoyed seeing his son score that. And yeah, just never in doubt. And the scenes, the celebrations were great. I did regret not bringing my other lens because when he was getting closer and closer, I was like, oh, God, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna
Is that your YD? Did you need your YD?
Yeah, the wide. Yeah, I needed my YD. Needed my YD, and yeah, she didn't bring that, which is annoying. Maybe that's me. Just I didn't have confidence in Town getting goals. So I just thought I don't need my YD. But yeah, great scenes though, and what a way to bounce back after conceding a penalty, and yeah, quick turnaround, which is good. Obviously, at that point, I was like, you know what, I think Town could go on to hopefully win this. But yeah, we'll get onto it. But yeah, beautiful finish, Liam Delap. Keep up. That's his eighth goal of the season.
Eighth goal, three assists. He's doing all right, the lad. Probably worth about 50 million now, if you're asking. Do we know the significance of his celebration? The kissing of the... Do we know what that's for? Has anyone asked him? No?
To Rory, his dad, probably in the stand.
Oh, yeah. That is his celebration, isn't it? The kiss of the fingers and the celebration. Maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that. What a penalty it was, AJ. And Liam Delap, I guess, is the juncture to talk about him. Sensational.
Yeah, I think that it took him a little bit of time. He maybe felt maybe a yard off in maybe the first 20 to 30 minutes of this game where Ipswich rely on him so heavily. I saw a tweet, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's like defensive strategy, head it, kick it, attacking strategy, pass it to Liam's lap. sorry for not quoting whoever said that, but I thought it was quite funny on Twitter. And that is kind of what it is. And I think there was one moment where he suddenly starts to get into it in the first half, where he picks up the ball, turns past his man with such ease, just breezes past him. The ball sticks to him like glue. And then gets fouled, and then that's one of the first kind of extended spells of possession that Town had in the game. And other than that, he's just fun, isn't he? I mean, he barged down an opposition player, I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, literally from the first whistle, barged straight into him, play had to stop, fair enough, let your man know he's there. He's just so physical, he's so surprisingly fast. And he's so intelligent as well in terms of the way that he reads the game and sets things up. If he can perform like this consistently over the next few weeks as well, then you're looking at someone who's going to be worth a hell of a lot of money, because he's brilliant. And already you see lots of talk about, I know Match of the Day, we're talking about him potentially catching the eye of Thomas Tuchel, maybe even for his first England squad, which won't be that far away now, a couple of months, so still time to impress the new England boss. Everyone's talking about Liam Delap at the moment, isn't it? So for that to be an Ipswich Town player, everyone in the country is talking about an Ipswich Town player because of how bloody good they are. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Was it Lukic? He basically just ran through, wasn't it, from the start? He just ran him over. It's fantastic. And the scary thing about Delap, he's still only 21. And he's got Kieran McKenna as his manager, who improves players no end. I mean, it's scary to think how good he's going to be in the not too distant future. Anyway, so Liam Delap makes it 2-1, eight goals for season now for him. And then Town are 2-1 up. And we're thinking, this is looking pretty bloody good. And then, all right, in the context of the game, a few other things happen. But then they almost make it 3-1. The boy Jack Clark comes on, the new look Jack Clark, by the way. We've not mentioned that. His floppy hair is gone. He's gone with a shorter cut. I think he's still wearing the same baggy clothes that he does. And he hits the post, AJ, agonisingly close to making it 3-1, and that would have been game over.
It would have been. Their chances, again, still the fact that they were in this kind of position where they were 1-0 up and 2-1 up and still creating chances to go and win the game away from home against a side that don't lose football matches. It just feels really, really good. I like that a lot. One that we didn't mention, Nathan Broadhead's absolutely whacked one.
Oh, that
Leno, which was before, I think that was at 1-0. That was before the first penalty for Fulham. The amount of power he got behind this is great. Ipswich hadn't done that much in the second half until this point. It really got them going. I'm sure we'll talk about him in a bit, but yeah, that was great. And they just had these opportunities. To be fair, from open play, they had the better opportunities, I'd say, across the 90. I really thought that, which is, again, remarkable for a team that had 27% of the ball across that period of time. And then this one with Jack Clark, it's a nice little decoy dummy from Lee Davis. Clark picks it up. It's his traditional trademark cut inside. Thought he was going to go for power. I think Fulham probably expected to go for power because that's what teams will be aware of, is cut inside, shoot, try and curl it into the top corner. He goes low. Bottom corner, it's almost one of those where you can see in slow motion, you think it's going to hit the back of the net, and clips the post, and it's gutting. And I feel bad, obviously, for Ipswich, but also for him on a personal level. It's been so hard for him. The minutes that he's had, the games that he's come on in, it's really, really difficult. And this would have been a huge moment for him being technically the match winner with what would have been a brilliant goal. In the end, that's the move that leads to the equaliser.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that's true because Leith Davis has bombed on as Town go looking for the killer goal. And then Clark hits the post and Leith Davis has got a bomb back and cover. And he ends up conceding a penalty with what you have to say is quite a tired challenge. He's run all the way back and then Jimenez cuts back on him, doesn't he? Just sticks his leg out. Sort of really tired looking challenge. And over he goes. And again, another Stonewall penner, Rossi.
Yeah, once again, replays, Premier League, you know, it'd be nice to have that. But yeah, it's...
it's not the last time, mate. You're not going to get them.
Nah, I'm not going to do it. I don't know. You never know. Maybe one of these new Rossi stadiums. Cat. Everton's new stadium. Everton, if we, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Or sometimes what they do show up on the big screen, don't they? After the, say, VAR decision, they sometimes show up and stuff like that. But yeah, Leaf is just, he's blowing, and he's just, yeah, as you said, just tired and he just leaves a leg out and is out there. I actually watched it back this morning, the highlights, and you just see Jacob Greaves going, no! Because that's what you do, don't you? Just react that way. You go, no, no chance, no chance. But obviously, you probably watch it back and go, oh, God, actually, it's actually a penalty. But yeah, a bit disappointing. Especially as you just mentioned, you know, we thought we'd just won it there, hitting the post. I love when the ball hits the post. It's just a nice little sound when it hits it. It's like, ooh. And you just, once again, I turn around the way and me and Watson just went, oh. And then, yeah, then we went, oh, crap. They got a penalty. They got a score for it. By the way, I don't know who AJ picked as his man of the match, but surely the penalty spot gets a shout here because it's got
considering that Ipswich conceded twice from it, probably not.
Yeah. That would have been a controversial choice.
Yeah.
ahead of all the other players who play quite well. But man of the match goes to the penalty spot for Fulham. Yes. AJ, what was your take on this penalty? Is there any... We've talked a lot, haven't we? Part of Leif Davis's game is obviously bombing forward. We saw it all the time in the Championship. And there's been times this season where he's been made to pay for that. Is there any kind of naivety in that bombing forward, looking for that killer third goal and then finding himself in that situation where he has to bomb back?
No, not really. I just think it's a natural part of who he is. I don't want to do an Ange Postecoglou, who we are, mate. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of how it feels. Sorry, that was really terrible.
I quite liked it.
Oh, thank you. It's because I've still got the cold. So I've got the husky. Raspy, the raspiness to it. So, yeah, I think that there is part of that. I think at the end of the day that there was a good opening there and you want to get the ball up the pitch. If the ball is out of your half, then you've got less of a chance of conceding from it. And I think he backs himself to get back. And in fairness, he did. And it's just the fact that it's a sloppy challenge. I could see it from quite a way off the way it was going. It was a really nice cut back from Jimenez. Again, he goes down like he's been shot, as he should. He's entitled to. You can't have any complaints about it. I think in general, the system suits Leaf a lot more. We've seen some really good stuff from him in the last two games. I mean, you look at the Chelsea one, he plays the through ball to Delap to win the penalty. Here, from open play, I thought he was really good. Yes, defensively, a couple of question marks in terms of the potentially getting sent off early on and then again here. But his open play stuff's really good and he's allowed to do a bit more of that because he's got three centre-backs covering behind him because Greaves comes quite close and covers there. But it's still a system that Ipswich are getting used to a little bit as well. So when they get caught out like that, tired heads, tired minds, tired bodies, you're always liable to a moment like that. And unfortunately, it's pretty much at the worst possible time.
Yeah. So to all, and that's how it ends. I think there is still
great
time,
penalty,
by the way.
Great penalty.
Really great penalty. Yeah.
Yeah, Ipswich could have lost that game as
well. I was about to say there was still time for Jack Taylor to almost make a massive rick. And actually, on the replay, he watches. He realizes that what he's done. His hands go to his head as he's played the pass. But fortunately, Town get away with it. What's going on with him and his headband? By the way, did you see that? It looks like he's got
an injury, didn't he?
Oh, is that injury? Okay, because he's got like a pad down the side of it. Almost like he looks like he's wearing it the wrong way around. Anyway, so that was that. So 2-2 it finishes. Another point for Town to build on going forward. In terms of the wider picture from the game, I've got the following things written down, AJ. So take your pick out of these. I've got Walton, clearly a conversation point. We know that Walton looks like he's going to be in between the sticks for the foreseeable future. I thought he had another good game. I've also got the back three. Is this the, if Newcastle was the watershed moment where McKenna's changed his thinking, you said before the season, Russell Martin will be doomed because he can't change the way he'll play. Kieran McKenna, we know, is not like that. And he clearly has come up with a new way of approaching games, which is working really nicely. So is that going to be the key going forward? And I've also got Nathan Broadhead written down because he's obviously started the last two games. I thought he's looked pretty lively. So which of those three would you like to discuss?
Let's start off with the defensive side, because obviously that was the main talking point from this one. I think that the Newcastle game, the word I was looking for was the nadir. I think that could literally be
good word.
One of the lowest points in terms of this season, because it had come just after the Wolves win. Everyone was hoping for a bit of bounce going into a pretty horrible run of winter fixtures, and Newcastle outclassed them in a way that we've not seen in 12 months since they went to Welland Road and got outclassed by Leeds then. And in the same way that the Leeds result was a bit of a nadir and a bit of a wake-up call, I think this could hopefully have the same effect. And there has to be a bit of a compromise here where Kieran McKenna isn't going to totally change his approach. He has his ideologies, he has his methods that he will always want to stick to. But that flexibility there can be the difference between winning games and dropping points at this level. And the improvement's huge. They're so much more solid. Mm. And the options that they've got there are really good. Obviously, we knew that Dara O'Shea and Jacob Greaves were going to be first-choice defenders in this team. They're excellent. I love Dara O'Shea. He was my man of the match in this game. He's fast. He's physical. He's fun. I feel like I say the same things about him every single week, but he's great. Jacob Greaves, he's getting up to speed in terms of his on-the-ball stuff. I think he was a little bit rusty in this one with some of the passes. But aerially, oh my God, a monster. And a big mention for Luke Wolfenden, who has been out of the team for so, so long. But he's so calm at this level. I don't understand it, how you're a boyhood Ipswich fan, an Ipswich lad coming into this team in the Premier League, and you're so calm and collected on the ball against some of the best players in the world. He's really good, has that physical element to his game as well. And I think that at least the immediate future, I think, is hinting that this formation could be here to stay. And I think that we'll get onto it in a minute. But the signing of Godfrey, I think, indicates that that's probably a route they're going to look at, because they've got a hell of a lot of centre-backs in the team now. Axel's probably not going to be a million miles away as well. So that's what I really like. That's great. The defensive shape's there. And hopefully the attacking side will come to fruition more and more over the next few weeks. But it has improved in the last couple as well. And the system, the way that they've got of approaching these kind of games, been really good.
Yeah, I think Luke Wolfen looks tremendous, doesn't he, in this system? He's so calm, as you say, and confident and composed with the ball as well. Looks absolutely fantastic. And I thought, as you say, the defenders were great in this game. Rossi, do you want to take Walton then in terms of talking points? Because this was his second straight start in the Premier League. He didn't have as much to do as he did against Chelsea. What have you made of him though, starting? Because it's interesting, isn't it? Because when we were talking about Walton and Hladke last season, the general consensus was, well, Hladke is better with the ball at his feet and therefore he's a better fit for this side. And Walton's come in now. And watching them, it now feels like they're more secure in terms of when the ball is going back to Walton, because he's not necessarily looking to play a pass that's his unwise. He's not afraid to just lump it if need be.
He's just full of confidence, Christian Walton. I think, obviously, it will be after the clean sheet against Chelsea. But, yeah, just watching him, he's here. He's ready. This is his spot now. Muric is not going to take it away from him. And even, you know, the Town fans, you know, they weren't really singing, obviously, chanting Muric's name. But they're chanting and, you know, singing Christian Walton, you know, super Christian Walton in goal. And for a player, I'm sure, like anybody, you know, getting chanted, but he must love that. But wasn't that busy for this one. But when he was needed, he made some good saves. I think especially in the first half, he made a really good save down to at the bottom. I think, I don't know if it's left or right, but he made a good save anyway. And then, yeah, the two penalties, you know, maybe the first one, it was a weird sort of...
They're weird dives, weren't they? Yeah, like, I'm not going to sit here and blame him. I'm just saying it from kind of a slightly funny angle. He dives really weird. He's quite a tall, lanky man, let's be honest. And his dives are kind of like slightly in slow motion. It's a little bit bizarre. Like, there's nothing you really could have done about the penalties. They're really, really good. No. But it was a slightly bizarre dive.
I think also with that scenario, you've got the hitch in the run-up, haven't you, of Jimenez, which makes, I guess, it more complicated for a goalkeeper in terms of when they
He does
dive.
Stop, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
You can see Walton stops, realises what's going to happen, tries to get back.
Yeah.
In the end, it kind of looks like he stays in the position but collapses to his right. So it's a little bit weird looking, yeah.
Yeah. But on that subject, AJ, you got anything you want to say about Walton?
Yeah, I think he's just been really good, hasn't he? We talked about him being full of confidence here. I think it was full of confidence against Chelsea. So really good that he's just playing so well at the moment and they feel a lot more solid. I think, yeah, it's the saves for sure, but I think Muric had the saves. I don't think there's a huge difference in that sense. I think it's just in terms of the way that Ipswich want to approach games in terms of both playing out the back and going a little bit more direct. Again, the whole pass to Liam Delap thing. It feels like Walton has that more in his locker in terms of getting the ball up the pitch, in terms of spotting runners, in terms of knowing who to play out to at the back. And they feel a lot more secure with him there. So I think it's his shirt to lose, isn't it? And I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I remember actually on the subject of Walton's confidence, Hutchie, our old friend Andy Warren, going to interview him during the League One season. He came back and said he's a very, very confident individual, supreme belief in his own ability. So clearly that's going to help him at this level. I guess also on this subject, AJ, we'd be remiss not to mention your chat with Sam Morsey from last Friday when you talked to him about the Muric and Walton thing. And he came out and said he thought that Muric essentially has been made, I think his exact words were, I think he's been made a little bit of a scapegoat by the fan base. And he's a really good guy and he's going to come back stronger. And now clearly a lot of people said excellent stuff from Sam. Really well said. Other people came back and said, hold on. I don't agree with that. The captain shouldn't be digging out the fans for maybe pointing out that player needs to improve. Clearly a lot of the stuff with Muric has gone way over the top. But it's fair to say that he needed to be better. You got any take on that?
I agree with it personally. I know I've probably annoyed a few people over the last few weeks in terms of the fact I've wanted to stick with Muric because I think that there has been a lot of good. And I think that it is hard being a 26-year-old goalkeeper moving to this part of the world for the first time in his career in one of the most pressurised environments going, a newly promoted team that were in League One, stepping up into the Premier League. And that is really, really difficult. So I agree with it. I think that Morsey's point has been maybe taken out of context by some in terms of, I think it's spot on in terms of saying there are members of the fan base who did take it over the top. I think that's pretty clear. I think that some of the comments were really far and you can't blame him for everything that Ipswich did. Yeah, there were mistakes there, but also he's not the reason why they lost the games that they lost every single time. And it felt like all the time it was kind of coming back to him a bit. So, you know, no one is above criticism and I don't think Sam Morsey's saying you're not allowed to criticise him. You're not allowed to complain about the mistakes that he's made. It's just about the way that you go about it because everyone's trying their best to play at this level. It's really difficult. And Muric is finding the same kind of thing there. So the last thing that's going to help the team as well is people coming out and making really harsh, unfair comments about a young goalkeeper who's trying to make that step up. So, I think that could probably draw a bit of a line under it. It'll probably help Muric as well, maybe having a little run out of the team, I'd say, and just seeing where we are in a few weeks' time. But I think that it was a good approach from Morsey to make the comments that he did personally. And I think that hopefully for some who've maybe taken it a little bit too far, it'll be a little bit of a wake-up in terms of what's going to help this team be successful.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you want a captain and a leader to say. He can't sit there and criticise Muric clearly. So publicly, that's the right thing to say. You know, myself, you know, as a captain of this side, when you all get criticised, I defend you. I say, no, they're good lads, all right? They don't get anything wrong. So anyway, Rossi, Broadhead, Nathan Broadhead, that's the final thing I've got down to talk about from this game. He's looked extremely lively since he started the last two games. And he's a strange one because at times we've sort of talked about Nathan Broadhead as potentially being someone who might leave in January and maybe wouldn't be up to the Premier League in terms of his defensive work rate and that kind of stuff. But he's looked cracking since he started playing.
Yes, yeah, it's been good to see him come back. You know, obviously, he's had his injuries as well. That's the reason why he hasn't really been in the team. Mm. Like the first half, you know, what's the word? Is it a luxury player in the first half? So, you know, didn't do much. But in the second half, he was on it, wasn't he? And obviously, in the first half, actually, no, he did provide the cross for Smollett's
for the goal.
So,
yeah.
So he was involved in that.
Yeah.
So obviously, he didn't get the assist because it was, you know. Yeah, you know the rest. But yeah, he's been very lively. And, you know, I think AJ mentioned it earlier. Obviously, had a shot and Leno had to make a good save. But yeah, he seems like a man with confidence as well. I think he's just pleased to be back on the football pitch, starting games, playing in the Premier League. Because obviously, all these players, their ambitions to be in the Premier League. Obviously, he was at Everton and obviously made a few cameos. But now he's like, I'm here where I want to be. And it's great to see him. And obviously, fans love to see him. You know, we've got the chant in the away end as well with Broadhead starting. So, yeah, it's good to see him. I've always been a Nathan Broadhead fan, to be fair. I've always liked how he's played. And yeah, hopefully it continues.
Absolutely. Right. That brings me to the end of this particular game. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we move on? I can't believe I'm saying this. We're 50 minutes in and we're about to talk about Town signing someone, which normally would be the very first thing we talk about. Is there anything else you want to mention, either of you boys, about the game?
Quick one from me. Again, I feel like I've already come out a little bit strong in terms of the Muric comments with some of the fan base. One of the other bits has been a little bit strong, I think, on socials. Ali El Hamadi is coming for a lot of criticism I've seen online in terms of his cameo. And I think that there's two sides of this again. I think that with Ali, for starters, there's nothing that he really did in terms of contributing to the reason why Ipswich didn't see out this win. A lot of people pointing out he looks quite unfit, doesn't look at the level, things like that, which I think are harsh, but there is a side to it where he isn't fully fit at the moment in terms of the injuries and the lack of minutes. And at this point in his career, this probably isn't his level, to be perfectly honest. He needs to go out on loan, and I think we can all agree with that. At the same point, I think some of the bits I've seen on socials, social media is a bit of an echo chamber, isn't it? And I know that it's only a minority with these bits, but it's a hard situation for him. It really is, being asked to come in and cover the in-form striker, possibly in the league at the moment with the way that he's playing. So, I think that he needs a bit of support and a bit of love, Ali. He's a good player. He's contributed to a lot of this club. But I really hope that Ipswich can get a striker in and hopefully get him out to the Championship where he can really catch fire. But maybe a few minutes for him before he goes at Portman Road next Sunday.
Absolutely. Perfect segue then, AJ, into Town bringing someone in already. Ben Godfrey, former Norwich City defender, boo hiss, coming on loan from Atalanta. He's not really been playing, has he? So what do you make of this one? Clearly, with Axel out, there was a space there. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, it's already pissed off everyone in Norfolk. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Move on. I think that this was... If you're looking at three areas for the squad to be strengthened, this was definitely one of the three, probably the lowest of the three in terms of the priority scale. So it's a little bit of a surprise when you're thinking, right, Ipswich, go out and get an attacker, go out and get a striker, right winger, something like that. And then all of a sudden they're linked with a centre-back and you think, hang on, they've got a hell of a lot of them already. But having that cover for Axel, who has been injury prone for a lot of his career, I think, is important. And it won't be easy for him for the rest of the season, Axel, because he's had a long run out. Don't forget, he had a run out before because he almost sliced his thumb off and then came back for two or three games and then does his hamstring. So not only has he got to deal with the injury, it's also the recovery and getting back up to full speed. So even though he might be able to contribute again in a month, getting back up to the levels that he were might be longer than that. So it's good to have the cover in there. In terms of it being Ben Godfrey, for starters, I'll say that the Norwich links, I think we're all in agreement. No one cares. I don't think. Yeah, we don't care about that, really. It's not really
depends important. How he plays.
Yeah, it depends how he plays. If he's rubbish, you can all say that. Yeah. But in terms of the player that he is, I think that there's a lot of things to like. He's versatile, started his career at some point kind of playing in centre mid, dropped deeper, played centre back. Everton, he was a right back. Can also play left back as well, although he's right footed. So he can kind of cover anywhere in the back four. I think Atalanta and some of his substitute appearances, he's come on as a wing back as well. So ticks the Kieran McKenna mold in terms of the versatility. He's quite fast. He's a good one-on-one defender. There's some really nice quotes from Rio Ferdinand about his performance against Arsenal for Everton a few years ago. The fact he was a £20 million defender at one point in his career speaks volumes. The fact he's only 26 means that there's still areas for him to develop. He's young and hungry and wants to get back into this league, wants to play. The fact that he's gone for a new challenge, realised he's not going to play and has said, actually, you know what, I want to go and play. I'm not happy to sit around eating pasta in Bergamo for a year and then going from there. I want to go and play regular football, I think, is a good sign. And there's lots of things where he's spoken about. I think there were 8 clubs that have been listed as interested in him. And to him, Ipswich was the one that stood out because of talks with Kieran McKenna. That's exciting. Covers a base that needs to be covered. A lot of attributes to like. Some comments from kind of his previous clubs, but we won't say Norwich, but, you know, Everton fans, maybe said some of his marking needs to improve, but that's okay. And I think that in terms of filling the Axel mould, that's a really solid replacement to have.
You'll be planning a profile on Godfrey today, AJ, which will be online tomorrow. So if you want to learn a little bit more about him, that'll be online tomorrow morning. Difference there between me and Godfrey, I would definitely have been happy to stay in Italy for a year eating pasta and drinking some good red wine. Rossi, you're going to be trying to get some insight as well on a video tip for Godfrey. What's your take on this signing?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this to be the first signing of the window, but, you know, you've got to try to fill different positions. So, well done, Kieran McKenna and co. Yeah, he's versatile, which, as AJ's already, sort of ticks all the boxes that Kieran McKenna likes. He's got Premier League experience, which this squad hasn't really, has it? I think he's got over 100 games, you know, for Everton and and those up the road. So, that's pretty good. Obviously, he's a good age as well. 26, I think he's going to be 27 soon, I think in February. But yeah, as AJ said, the Norwich link don't bother me really. It's funny that Norwich fans are just like, they're not happy about it. They're like going through his like
Instagram he was rubbish story. Anyway.
Yeah.
We never liked him.
Pretty much. But yeah, I don't mind this one. And see how it gets on. And obviously, yeah, as AJ said, fills the void with Axel, and when Axel's back, competition, which you like to see.
Okay, so one is in the door already. Mr. Relentless Mark Ashton wastes no time in getting one in the door. We know, AJ, they're going to have to get more, though. And within that, they're going to need some sort of attacking bolstering and clearly a striker, one, if not two. And the other kind of link we've had so far, obviously there's been loads of links and it's silly season. I'm not going to get into how much I hate January. But Ben Doak at Middlesbrough reports that Town have had a £16 million bid rejected. Obviously, he's on loan at Middlesbrough from Liverpool, and they've apparently said you're going to have to pay £30 million if you want him. 19 years old, winger, very, very talented. I think he's got 6 assists, 2 goals already this season. Any thoughts on him as a potential target?
Yeah, so in terms of what we know, it's not a lot at the moment. I'd say that the reliability of the sources that have reported the £16 million rejected bid would indicate there's probably something there. There's probably interest there, and the good chances are there probably has been a bid that's been turned down. He fits the bill in terms of being a right-sided attacker who wants to stay high and wide, is really fast, got a good cross on him, delivered a really good one, funnily enough, for a fellow that I think we might know called Emmanuel Latte-Lass over the weekend, so that he set up Latte-Lass for a goal for Borough on Saturday. So, yeah, a bit of a link up there. And he's clearly got an immensely high ceiling. He's 19, only just turned 19 in November, born in 2005, just to make you feel really old here. And we're talking about someone who's worth £30 million, apparently. I like him a lot as a player, Scotland international with good experience, someone that Liverpool clearly hold in really high regard. I think that him playing under Kieran McKenna is pretty frightening, to be perfectly honest. In terms of what that can be in the long term, I think. And this is now where the question comes in. Are you looking at bringing in someone who's just turned 19, step into the Premier League and play what will be a really important part in hopefully sealing survival in this league? That's really hard.
Yeah,
it's a big, big step up, even though he's coming from an elite. Well, he came through a Celtic, but has kind of worked in an elite academy with Liverpool and is clearly a really promising young player. So that's the question mark for me. £30 million is a lot to spend. I don't know exactly where Ipswich are in terms of the financial fair play borderlines, whether they could stump up £30 million. It would quite comfortably, I'd say, shatter the record signing set by Amari Hutchinson by quite a few million.
12 million.
Blimey, yeah. So for me, I'm not totally convinced. I think he'd be a brilliant player. But it's a huge ask for a 19-year-old, even if there's good competition there and he'd be an exciting option to have. It's a big step.
Mm. Certainly fits the profile, though, doesn't it? Young, British, potential for huge growth in his value under McKenna. We will see. Obviously, the boys are going to be keeping their ears very close to the ground. It is January, like I say. Have I mentioned that I hate the January transfer window and all the various rumours and the fact that Ross keeps putting links into the chat that I have to look at? I hate it.
There's anyway. A lot of four-letter words going around about that one.
I really
four-letter word followed by a three-letter word.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then silence.
Absolutely. Let's just get through this, friends. It's January. As always, friends, consider the source when you see these things. They're going to be everywhere. Consider the source, though. And if we do it, that's a pretty good indicator that there is something in it. And if we don't do it, well, you know. So anyway, before we finish today, I want to have a chat about the bigger picture, boys, which we have to talk about clearly pretty much every show now, because we're in the very thick of it. We're in the great game, and Town are in the fight. AJ, they've let me read you this stat: first 10 games, 5 points; last 10 games, 11 points. And obviously we've seen over the last two games they feel like they're getting better. They're finding the way that they're going to survive in this league. Wolves obviously play tonight. They've improved. Everton, however, interesting. Everton can't score goals and they're coming backwards. So how are we feeling about it as we sit here now, AJ? And then I'm going to ask you, Ross.
Really good. It's almost a little bit unfortunate that the run of games coming up is what it is, because they are daunting tests. I mean, the Brighton game now feels huge. Then hosting City, going to Liverpool, eases a little bit after that. And it's probably not what you want when you're trying to kind of keep in touch with the teams above you. But in terms of what they've been able to do, where they are at the moment, they've done really, really well. And the competitiveness is there. I had a look last night in terms of how other teams were dealing at the halfway mark. I think that aside from all the local rivalry, in terms of the kind of the clubs and their ethos, Norwich are quite a good benchmark in terms of what they've had to deal with in their promotions. And it feels that Ipswich are definitely a step ahead of where they were in both of their last two spells in the Premier League. They're obviously miles ahead of where teams like Sheffield United were this time last year, and Burnley as well. There's a lot of talk about sometimes doing a loose and being really competitive and maybe just falling short with the quality, but they've given themselves every single chance. There's a real fight there. And we've always spoken as well about Ipswich improving as the season goes on. That's been a big thing. And Kieran McKenna has spoken about that a lot. This team will improve as the season goes on. And if this is the start of it, and it feels like it really could be, then they will continue to pick up points at this rate. And if they can continue to do that, then they've got every chance of staying up. And the attacking thing will be important. I think defensively, they seem to have found a bit of a solution now. And it's about the attacking side. If you've got where we're now in terms of the goals, let's say, let's take Delap, who's got 8 goals already just past the halfway mark. Smodex has got 4. If they were to finish the season, really difficult, let's say, Delap 16, Smodex 8, that would be an unbelievable output at this level, with others chipping in as well. So if they're starting to find that balance there and they can maintain the defensive side, every single chance. And that's all that we could really ask for, isn't it? We just wanted to be in a situation where we're not at the halfway point in the season saying, we'll plan for the championship and we'll be able to bounce back. No, this is a team that's really right in the fight. And that's exciting. That's really good. And it'd be interesting to keep an eye on what's going on around Ipswich, starting with Wolves tonight against Forest.
Yeah, go on. Score loads of goals tonight, Chris Wood, please, because you're in my FL side. We'll come on to that in a minute. So, Rossi, Southampton, they're done. Stick a fork in them. They're baked. They're down. The only question now is whether or not they'll beat Derby's record for futility. But clearly then you've got Leicester, Town, Wolves, Everton right in that kind of mix for the final two relegation spots. And Man United, of course. Amarin said they are in the... I'm not sure about that, but wouldn't that be fun if they were? Anyway, Rossi, two home games coming up after the FA Cup. Yes, they're tough games, Brighton, Man City, but they're two home games, building on this sense. And I really feel it's a tangible thing. It's easy to say, because this is football, isn't it? After Newcastle, it was incredibly deflating. And then, yes, they looked a bit better against Arsenal, but not inevitably, but Arsenal certainly dominated that game and deserved to win. And it felt a bit like, where are the points going to come from? Then they beat Chelsea. Then they go and get this draw at Fulham. They've got this system that seems to be working really well. And suddenly it starts to feel like things are possible again, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to quote Sir Ralph Ramsey.
Oh, yes. Fine. I feel fine.
Yes. I will admit, after the Newcastle game, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be a long winter.
I mean, I do remember you calling it, I think, close to calling it at some point, Rossi.
Put words in my mouth there. but, yeah, I was like, oh, God, another winter. Because, obviously, the last few winters have not been great, actually. This is where McKenna, this is his, like, what's the word? It's kryptonite. Probably not. Yeah. That's not the word to say. It's another word.
He doesn't like
word.
The cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like the cold. But it's like, yeah, just it felt like every winter we have that little blip. And obviously we somewhat did with the Newcastle and the Arsenal game, but I think no one thought we were going to get anything out of those ones. But to the Chelsea game really gave me confidence. This team have made that step up. Players have really shown they can play against a good team. Because Chelsea, at the end of the day, they are a decent team. And then Fulham as well. So getting 4 points out of those two, incredible. And it's just giving that positivity. And the window's open now. You know, Godfrey, I think, is a solid signing. So yeah, it's still going to be a long, hard season. Still some big games to come, but we just got to back these boys to the final game, because at the end of the day, I always just pinch myself and say, we're in the Premier League. I know people are getting sick of that now, but I think me and Stu yesterday were just saying, like, at the end of the day, we're watching Premier League football.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it, because I never thought this would happen. So just keep enjoying it, ladies and gentlemen, and yeah, bring it on.
I think Terry, one of our columnists, North Stander, Terry Hunt, former Anglian editor, said essentially in his column today, it's a sign of how far they've come that drawing at Fulham, a side who are a really good side in the Premier League, it kind of feels disappointing. So if that can continue going forward, and remember, May, what have they got in May? They've got Leicester, they've got West Ham, Everton, all of them playing in May. It could go all the way down to the wire, and that would be some thrilling stuff. And in terms of McKenna not liking the cold, Rossi, did you like his coat, by the way? Sandbanks coat? You want one of them? 650 quid is going to set you back. So there we go. That's why he's spending his big money on. He needs to be warm on that sideline to keep the old tactical mind going. Friends, shall we finish with a chat about FPL? And this is where I've always said that FPL is a game for cool, serious, intellectual individuals. And completely, as a byproduct of that, I've started picking up in FPL. I got 100 plus points in the previous game week. Again, the third straight week, I've exceeded the average and I'm climbing the table. I'm up into the 700s now in the KOA, having been down in the doldrums of 1,000s. So how are we doing, friends? I've been very pleased with my pickup of Anthony Gordon. So I think I've collected just before people have jumped on him, because he's doing very well for Newcastle. AJ, obviously, you are Mr. FPL. How are you finding things?
Yeah, no longer. The winter, much like Kieran McKenna, has been my kryptonite, as Ross would say. The game week pass, the one where Ipswich beat Chelsea, was an actual disaster. And this has seen me absolutely plummet to sickening depth. Because where you were picking up 100 plus points, I got 47.
Ouch.
Because I thought, you know what, I'm going to be different. I think Ipswich are going to struggle because they've just been battered by Newcastle. I'm going to captain Cole Palmer. That went well. Didn't captain Salah. Then on my bench, I had Morgan Rogers, 11 points. I had Lewis Hall, 12 points. Mm-hmm. And I had Dara O'Shea, 5 points. And that saw me drop out of the top 100, quite heavily out of the top 100. This game week's been a bit better so far. I mean, we'll be talking about Son and FPL pod. I'm going to say tomorrow, Ross, but yeah, he's giving it a thumbs up. There'll be an FPL pod this week. We're going to record tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm doing better. My Brian and Buemo pick, which I made just holding off on my wild card, paid off. He did really nicely. So the comeback is on. We're not quite in the top 100 again at this point, but I'm gonna get back to where I belong.
Which is where? Top 20?
Yeah, top 10, maybe. Yeah.
Top 10.
Top 5.
Yeah. I last week, the previous game week, I got 108 points and I considered just retiring. I thought that's as good as it's going to get. Just walk away. Dermot McCarthy, thump the table, walk off. This week I've got 59, again above the average. And like I say, I've been climbing. Big scorers for me, Mo Salah, obviously. Cole Palmer, Anthony Gordon, Isak, Delap. So yeah, I'm pretty pleased with things. I feel like I'm taking aim at that top 500 maybe by the end of the season. And also I'm in a separate league with my cigar smoking friends. And I'm very much pushing the European places there.
They all got like cigar themed.
They have. Yeah, absolutely. They have. Yeah. very predictable. Rossi, how are you doing? I think you're leading the way now, aren't you, for us?
Wow. AJ's above me again, but I've still got three players to play tonight.
Okay, so who have you got tonight? You've got Wood, obviously. Everyone's got Wood.
Wood, Gibbs White, and Aina, the other first player.
Yeah, yeah.
So
if Wolves win, you're toast.
Well, it depends, because I'm only 2 points away from you, my friend. That's how close me and AJ are.
Yeah, I think I might fall behind. I like that no one batted an eyelid when Mark just said everyone's got Wood openly on the podcast. No one made any comments.
Town are doing very well.
Professionals. We are professionals here. But yeah, I've actually surprised myself, actually. I think because we do the FL pod, I'm actually surprised how well I'm doing, because normally at this stage, I'm probably a selfie. I'm done with it. I know some people have said to me they've got rid of the app and stuff, but for me, I'm going to go for it for the whole shebang. But 116th in the table. AJ is 110th. Obviously, it could easily change for tonight's game. But yeah, Liam Delap's on my team. Back the boy since the start. Cole Palmer, Mo Salah. Kirkez from Bournemouth got me 12 points in the Izak as well. So yeah, I'm hoping Wood, Gibbs White and Aina get some points for me tonight so I can take over AJ once again.
Let's hope we all get Wood tonight, shall we? I've always said that it's a game for serious, cool, not at all nerdy adults.
Don't make me find the receipts.
Anyway, friends, we've come to the end of the show, I believe. 70 minutes we've done today, because clearly there was a lot to talk about. And it's quite exciting. Everything we're talking about is good stuff. Anything else to mention, boys? Any other notes? Yes, Rossi.
I just want to give some shout-outs to people. Mm-hmm. Cole Fuller. I bumped into the good old man who does a columnist for us. Always columnist.
Good old Carl.
Yeah. Full of flavour and all that jazz. Caught up with him before the match. Said hello and all that jazz. And then Saj, who drove me to the game, to the Fulham game. Good lad. His wife made us a nice egg and avocado bagel, which was very nice for the journey up. And yeah, health. Got to be healthy. New year and all that. New year's resolutions. But yeah, another part of the driving list. And also, he actually showed me his cruise control. And I was like thinking, do I need to get a driving license? I could just get in a car and just put the cruise control on and easy done.
Legally, you definitely do need to get a driving license.
Yeah, but he was showing me it and I was like, well, he's technically not driving his car. He's just like there, like just like, there we go. Not needing to put his hand on the steering wheel.
I hope he wasn't doing that.
No, he wasn't doing that, no. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought, this is easy as driving Lark. But big thanks to Saj for taking me. And it was good to catch up with him. And I play five-a-side, part of the KOA five-a-side. And also, if you're wanting to get yourself into fit shape, get in contact with me if you want to get involved in the KOA five-a-side, seven-a-side. We play Monday and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. at Goals in Ipswich. Get in contact. But yeah, that's all. That's me done. Bye, everybody.
If you want to ruin your ACL in 2025, go and play with the KOA football lads. I don't know if I told you this before, Rossi, but when I was in the hospital waiting for my surgery, one of the nurses came in and said, how do you injure it? And I said, five-a-side football. And she went, everyone of your age says that. So five-a-side is one of the most dangerous things you can do as a man of a certain age. And also, Saj, you sound like a lovely man, a top oak, an all-round legend, but stop enabling Rossi. Let him walk. He needs to learn to drive. AJ, anything from you?
Special mention to the snow yesterday.
Shout out
to the train that took me into London. Can't forget, special mention as well for the tube as well and a nice walk over. I can't think of any more Rossiisms there. But
good old tube.
Yeah, good old tube. Good old walk over to the ground. Good old Denmark. Not good old snow. Didn't enjoy that. I know you didn't get a lot where you were, but when I woke up in Luton's head up into down into London, oh God, that was not overly enjoyable. Having to spend many, many minutes getting the snow off my car. Don't look at me like I'm being dramatic. I can see what you're thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's all from me. Yeah.
Snow's great. Snow's great as long as you don't have to go anywhere in it. I mean, obviously, in this country, we get any sort of snow, it completely ruins the transport system. And the worst bit, luckily we haven't had it because it's warmed up, is when it just turns into icy slush.
Oh, yeah.
It makes even walking anywhere just hellaciously taxing. Anyway.
Yeah, I got called out for my dramatics in theory yesterday. And when I sent a photo into the chat, you quickly shut up and said, ah, yeah, all right, fair enough.
I mean, so, you did make it sound like you were in the Himalayas where you were.
I was basically. It was basically the same thing. I had to think, oh, you know what? I might have to get my skis out to go to the same
place. I'd love that. I'd love that. You Nordic skiing to a game. Let's have that before the end of the season.
Me down the A14 school.
Absolutely, yeah. I will get to the game. Friends, let's bring us to the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to get excited about. All that leaves me to say then is just a reminder to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've not had some of those for a while. It just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts and help more people find us, clearly. We're still looking for a sponsor. I may or may not be wearing a former sponsor on my top today. Just disregard that. But if you do want to get involved, have your name linked to this behemoth of a podcast, email me, mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk. There's also merch that AJ is kindly displaying. Get yourself some KOA merch. And also, friends, follow us across all social medias, Kings of Anger on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. How are we doing on TikTok, AJ? Are we still dominating the TikTok scene?
Yes, quieter over Christmas, but this is a big... I said to Ross, actually, I can't remember what game it was, Ross, but Ross actually said to me, 2025 will be the year for TikTok for us. So I'm going to make it happen.
Excellent. And also, the three of us are on Blue Sky as well. If you're on there, come and join us on there. Stu, I don't think will ever be on there because he hates social media as it is. But maybe if enough people ask him, he'll deign to go on there at some point. Friends, first part of the week is in the books. Ipswich Town started to 2025 with a really good point at Fulham. Now it's the FA Cup. The boys will be back with a FPL pod tomorrow. We'll be back later on this week to build up to the cup game this weekend. And then, friends, the rest of the year stretches out ahead of us in truly exciting fashion. Who knows what happened with Ipswich Town this year? But the key thing is they're in the fight. Friends, have a great start to your week. And we'll be back later on this week to talk to you all over again.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.